Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, who you guys have heard hosting here on ESPN Radio throughout your weekends. Also, a lawyer, which I feel like not enough people probably talk about here. Amber, you work very hard for that, so we want to make sure you're getting your just due on that front.
I appreciate that very much. You've been very complimentary today. I like it. Keep it up.
Yeah, listen, I have to convince people to want to come here and hang out with me. We know that's kind of part of the equation here. And so we're glad that you did. We're going to get to talk to another person that we like around here, ESPN college football reporter Adam Rittenberg, going to join us coming up in a little bit as we look at the whole idea of super conferences, what the moves made by Oklahoma and Texas leave for other conferences, namely the Big Ten, who has been not one that we thought might be on ice the way the Pac-12 has felt in the last few years, not one currently going through the change that the Big 12 and the SEC might, but waiting in the wings to kind of see what happens. So there's a lot to get to on that front, but we've had so much news today in the NFL surrounding Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Our ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter been tweeting up a storm on this thing, outlining what looks like concessions that are being made by the Green Bay Packers that could lead to Aaron Rodgers being back with the team for the 2021 season. This was Adam Schefter earlier today on NFL Live talking about what this resolution could potentially mean for Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers after this season.
This is about the way things are run. This is about structure. This is about creating a path for Aaron Rodgers to leave Green Bay potentially after this season. The Packers have voided the 2023 season on Aaron Rodgers' deal, which was the last year in his contract. And they've also agreed to promise to review his situation after this year. So if Aaron Rodgers still wants a trade after this year, he can get it.
Amber, as we look at this now, a situation that from the early portion of the offseason looked like most of us thought, all right, a sure split, star player gets what they want, even in this league where traditionally that wasn't the case. What's your biggest takeaway from the entire Aaron Rodgers saga, as it looks like he might be back for this season and then 2021 is when we start talking about a departure?
Well, Mina Kimes, when she was on with us earlier, she called it a win for both sides. And I can understand where she's coming from there. I don't think that this is bad for Aaron Rodgers, but it does feel like if I had to choose a winner who won in this situation, it feels like Green Bay won a little bit more than maybe Aaron won with this holdout. And a holdout, I mean, we're not even at training camp and he's about to show up, right? So I don't know if I should really use the term holdout, but it feels like it's been a holdout because we've been talking about it for the last 3 months. But ultimately, at the end of the day, he ends up in Green Bay for another year. He gets his wish. He just gets his wish a year removed from when it seemed like he wanted his wish, which was to be traded now. That's why I would give the upper hand slightly there to Green Bay. They get a year to really game plan, to really figure out what to do next. He is going to be there for them to help them win games, to try to win a Super Bowl this year so they get another year with the reigning MVP. And then he moves on. And when he moves on, you're talking even closer to that 40 mark. I think for Aaron Rodgers, what we're really seeing here after all this talk, Mike, is he's getting out of his contract a year early.
Yeah.
It's not 3 years. We're talking a year early. So it's nice that he gets to choose where he's going to go in 2022, but it kind of feels like a whole lot to do for not much in return.
Yeah, and Amber, I think that is an interesting way to look at it, is of all the effort, of all the noise that we got here. And it was a little more subtle. Very little of this came directly from Aaron Rodgers in a meaningful way throughout this. But we know the reports, the things, we know these have sources, and usually sources well connected and close to the people involved in all this. I can't help but now think, because this seems to be about controlling his future after this season as best he can, understanding the limitations and setting it up. This is an interesting wrinkle to the Tom Brady legacy conversation, and this was one that I poo-pooed last year when people brought it up in this way or even at the end of the season. But looking at this, Aaron Rodgers wants what Tom Brady had after his last year in New England, wants what Tom Brady got, the ability to dictate and choose his own adventure late in his career. And Amber, I'm wondering who adjusts first off this. Like, do we see more of this? Quarterbacks, where it used to be for almost every NFL player, the desire to want to spend your entire career in one spot, to be able to leave such a legacy in one location that you were immortalized in a way so few people are afforded the opportunity to. They've seen, and there are other examples historically of this, but Tom getting to choose and dictate that, is that something that Russell Wilson, in a standoff with the Seahawks that looks like it's going to be more real next year, starts to pay heed to? Or do we see teams adjust and say, hey, we just got to communicate better with some of these big-time stars here? And I'm not sure what gives first, but Amber, I'm willing to give a lot more credence to the idea that other veteran players, other star quarterbacks in this league, looked around at what Tom got and what he was able to accomplish on the other side of it and said, yeah, I think I want something that resembles that a little more than what I've got.
Well, I think the difference between now and yesteryear is that you used to be able to make your quarterback happy by just constantly keeping him under contract, constantly extending him and throwing money at him. But now these players are so powerful that they want more. They want more control within the organization. They want to do the winning. They want more than maybe just the contract price, because at the end of the day, they are all significantly underpaid in a salary cap sport like we see with the NFL. So I think that Aaron Rodgers sees somebody like Tom Brady take that power into his own hands and end up leaving, and the grass was greener. They say the grass ain't always greener. It certainly was for Tom Brady, and he goes and wins championship. But that's not an easy task. I don't know how this is going to end up. We saw it with Peyton Manning. Fine. The grass was greener. He ends up going and winning another championship. But at some point, does that trend stop here? It's not that easy to walk into another team at 38, 39 years old and win a Super Bowl. And what teams are in a position where they're so well constructed that just the addition of Aaron Rodgers is going to get them there, no matter where Aaron Rodgers is at in terms of his prime. So we'll see what happens here moving forward with Aaron Rodgers. At the end of the day, though, this is one more year older that Aaron Rodgers will be. And even though he's the reigning MVP and he's phenomenal, and maybe he can not eat strawberries like Tom Brady and do whatever's going on there with TB12, he's still quite close to 40. And if you're close to 40, you would think that you're probably declining here at some point, and there's only so much time you have left to do it, which is why he wants to do it now. He just wants to do it now in a different uniform. He's going to have to wait a year.
He is going to have to wait a year. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And I think you're also right to remember that you point out this is a small sample size of human beings that have the ability and that have the competency at these kind of ages that we're talking about here. Quarterbacks that can stay this potent late in their careers the way Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and others have demonstrated the ability to do here. But what is this really about here? And Adam Schefter went into this more on NFL Live, because one of the bullet points that they were looking for was mechanisms put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. Here was Adam Schefter on the kind of control Aaron's looking for.
In the past, I think the Packers have gone to Aaron Rodgers and said, we want your input into some personnel decisions that we make. We're going to include you on some key personnel decisions that you make, only to not do that and not follow up and not right. include him. And I think now, going forward, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to be included and consulted. And they're going to do things, I think, to try to make him happy. I think those are the kinds of things that in this potentially last season in Green Bay that the Packers will look to avoid if they're hoping to improve the relationship with Aaron Rodgers.
Amber, one of the things that becomes interesting about this is we're talking about personnel decisions in damn near August. So I don't know how viable that is going to be for Aaron Rodgers going into what we now think is going to be his last season in Green Bay.
Yeah, we're talking about 1 year left with the team and we're up against the season and he's going to be involved in personnel decisions. Why would you even give him that luxury? Why would you bank any of your future now on Aaron Rodgers at all? You need to be planning for moving forward without an Aaron Rodgers very, very shortly. It doesn't make any sense to me that they would give him any more control or any more input in those decisions when they weren't even willing to do it when they thought they had 3 years left with him.
Yeah, and this is going to be interesting how it affects Devontae Adams, because Adam Schefter also reported that with Aaron Rodgers expected to return to Green Bay while giving the Packers more cap room, the team can now make another run trying to sign wide receiver Devontae Adams. Would be very interested, because I know there was a tweet earlier from Schefty that was deleted and reworded because it made it sound like Adams might be open to that. And Amber, I'll be very curious to see if that receiver, all he was doing was being a great friend, was that he always wanted the money and security that other positions need far more than the quarterback because they're less protected. all he was doing was being a good friend, and now that this gets resolved, he can go inside this long-term extension, because if he wants to be back in Green Bay, is it as simple as, hey, I want the money and the security, this place has been good to me, and I'll live with what the quarterback situation looks like, or does he decide to ride this out in a 1 year and say, you know what, I'll go and make sure I'm in the best quarterback situation possible, because right now, the demand can't be any higher for what many consider, including Mina Kimes, who joined us earlier, the best wide receiver in football.
Well, they told us it was the last dance through subtweeting on your Instagram story or whatever you call subtweeting when it's on the gram. I don't know what the kids are calling that these days, but that's essentially what they were doing on their IG stories when they put up the picture of Pippen and Jordan, and it was the last dance. So they told us it was their last dance, Mike, but they didn't necessarily say they were both leaving, right? Maybe Devontae Adams was just saying, oh, it's my last dance because Aaron's going to leave in a year. I'm going to get that bag.
I tell you what, if Devontae Adams ends up re-signing with an extension for the Packers, I hope all of us in life are able to find a friend so loyal as Devontae Adams as to play with his future potential earnings just to help out the man who's been throwing him the football. That is friendship goals to a T. Coming up next, though, not a lot of friendly feelings right now between Texas, Oklahoma, and the Big 12. We'll talk about all the super conferences, the feeling of inevitability, and what it means for another one of the biggest conferences in the sport next on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson filling in today for Jhené Egbuemeke. And in the world of college football, we've been talking about the news. Texas and Oklahoma have officially notified the Big 12 today that they will not be renewing their grant of media rights after their expiration in 2025, according to a joint statement made by both schools. And as we continue this conversation about these schools reaching out to the SEC, the potential for them to jump ship, we will head to the Goodyear hotline shortly to talk to our ESPN college football writer Adam Rittenberger about the larger effect that this has, because Amber, looking at this, I think not only of what the Big 12 does next, what the Pac-12, who we often talked about as a conference on the outside looking in of the larger playoff conversation, but you wonder what the other power player in all this. The Big 10 is probably the only other conference that has, especially revenue-wise and success-wise, stared at times eye-to-eye with the SEC, or at least closest to it from the relative position of the other conferences.
Yeah, they're the other really powerful conference. They're the other conference, if we talk about moving to super conferences, that you would expect the rich getting richer, which I mentioned with the SEC, you would expect that to apply to the Big Ten as well.
You certainly would. And so we head now to the Goodyear hotline to talk to Adam Rittenberger, again, our ESPN.com senior college football writer. And Adam, as we see this movement start to take shape here, I'm wondering for you, sitting where we do now, how likely do you think it is that we see Oklahoma and Texas actually make this leap to the SEC?
Yeah, extremely likely. That's the expectation around college football. I know the Oklahoma State president recently went on a bit of a Twitter rant about it. But, you know, whether it's Oklahoma State or Texas A&M or anyone that would have significant opposition to this, I think there's also a realization and acceptance, whatever word you want to use, that this is on track to happen. And at least the vote could happen very soon. When they actually start playing in the SEC, that remains to be seen because of the legal side of this. And, you know, obviously being connected to the Big 12 from a rights perspective until 2025. Now, very few in the sport believe it'll go all the way till then, but we'll find that part out. But as far as Oklahoma and Texas moving to the SEC, that's widely expected at this point.
Yeah, why are Texas and Oklahoma doing this now in 2021? Why are they announcing they're not extending the media rights deal after 2025? So we know that this could happen in 2025, but why are we talking about it now in 2021?
Well, it's interesting. It kind of depends on who you ask. A lot of this is, you know, either foresight and seeing where the sport is going and all the changes and wanting to get ahead of it. Obviously, that's what the SEC is doing. Some say that this, you know, has gotten out much earlier than initially expected and was maybe accelerated by another school like Texas A&M that's already in the SEC and maybe didn't want this to happen. But, you know, so the timing of it, I think, is certainly something to look at. But I think very few people expect Oklahoma and Texas to actually play in the Big 12 for another, you know, four seasons, knowing, with everybody knowing that they're going to go and move to the SEC. So, you know, a lot of times with grant of rights, there's negotiations, things can get changed. I just go back to the last round of realignment. Nebraska was added by the Big Ten in 2010. They played in the Big Ten in 2011, and that was more or less what you saw with some of these other teams that moved around, you know, about 10 years ago.
Adam, you mentioned a lot of people feeling like they're accepting that this is an inevitable move from these two teams. As we look at the other Power Five conferences, the Autonomy Five, however you label them, is there an acceptance on the part of those leagues and groups that major realignment for everyone in the sport could now be something that's inevitable?
Well, if there's not acceptance, then they're living in an alternate universe. There's a lot of naive people if they're not understanding what this means, because we saw even that realignment that I mentioned a minute ago triggered other moves. Nebraska to the Big Ten triggered Missouri to the SEC, and Colorado to the Pac-12, and other realignments. So this is just the beginning of what could be an even more dramatic round of realignment or contraction or division in the sport, you know, depending on who you talk to. So I think there's definitely acknowledgement from people that I've talked to in the last few days in different leagues or who have consult or observe this sport that there'll certainly be more leagues impacted, teams impacted, regions impacted by this first major move. You just don't see, guys, teams like Texas and Oklahoma, programs and brands of that caliber change conferences, especially at the same time to the same league. This is pretty unprecedented, at least in the modern era.
ESPN.com senior college football writer Adam Rittenberg joining us. Adam, why the SEC? Why isn't Texas considering going to the Big Ten?
Well, that's a good question, and something that, you know, I think other leagues could certainly try to make a push for Texas at this point, but they have, you know, seemingly been in some type of communication with the SEC for some time. And, you know, the SEC is extremely well positioned on the field. They're very well positioned from a revenue standpoint, recruiting wise. You already have a rival in the state in Texas A&M that's part of the SEC and has improved as a program as a result of being an SEC member. Texas, you know, has a big ego. They want to be part of the elite league. Everybody acknowledges the SEC is that right now. But the interesting thing is, from an institutional standpoint, I tweeted this out earlier today, there's a lot more similarities between the University of Texas taking the sports out of it with the Big Ten schools than there are with the SEC schools. There just are. So, again, that's another factor here to consider, but it just seems like Texas is so far down the road, along with Oklahoma, in those conversations with the SEC that I don't know if any other league can make a realistic push for them.
One thing's for sure, Texas is back to causing a lot of major headaches for the world of college football. You guys check out Adam Rittenberg on ESPN.com, our great senior college football writer. Adam, I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon as the wheels continue to turn on this.
Yeah, sounds good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
It's going to be fascinating. The Big Ten hanging in the balance right here. You're going to no doubt be one of the power players that doesn't have to worry like the Big 12 does about anything existential, like will its conference exist in a few years, but what the makeup looks like and how you start positioning yourself for what's to come, that remains to be seen. Coming up next, though, we do have the Olympics going on right now. We've seen a ton of different sports inundating our TVs at random times. It's been exciting to watch, but it got us to thinking. If you could make the Olympics for any of the things that you are randomly good at in your life, the best Olympic event based on your personal abilities, what would they be? We will give you our lists after this word from Rumble On. Now, does the thought of selling your motorcycle, your ATV, or just your vehicle already make you exhausted? There's no need to keep putting it off because RumbleOn.com makes selling easy. You'll have a cash offer in minutes and free pickup. Whether it's Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, trade-in, or sell, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. See what RumbleOn can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash. What is your best personal Olympic ability? We'll get to that list next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson filling in for Jhené Egwumike today. And Amber, we were talking a lot about the Olympics relative to Team USA's men's basketball loss, which is a thing we all do. We harp on any time they lose. We don't really care when they win because we expect it. But as I was sitting around watching the rest of the Olympic events, we have 13 and 12-year-olds winning gold medals in skateboarding. We've got all number of events in all this. And so we were talking before the show here because the ESPN Twitter handle, I believe, put out the question of what's not an Olympic event but feels like an Olympic event. And Amber, I'm sure you saw and agreed with most people who put in there that trying to get all the grocery store bags into the house in one trip is probably the one we can all agree is the crown jewel there.
Yeah, we can't agree on much in 2021. We can all agree on that, particularly if you've ever lived in a high rise. I've lived in a bunch of high rises around South Florida. And that was always an Olympic event because you don't want to have to go down the elevator back to your car. You got to get it all done in one trip. I always took great pride in how many bags I could load up on my hands.
Exactly. It's a point of personal pride for all of us. And the answer is always all of the bags. You find a way to make it work. But if that's the accepted number one, it got us to thinking, what are the top four like personal abilities that we have that if they were made Olympic events, we're on gold medal, no questions asked. So we're going to give you our top four, 4-4-4 list here for that.
A-list with no limits.
In the kitchen, cooking, good Lord.
The heat.
As long as it stops at 4.
The heat is on the stove.
444.
For real, though.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
All right, our top four personal Olympic abilities. I'm going to kickstart this party and give you my list here, Amber. Let's start with number four.
Number four.
Something that I don't even think they test for in the driver's license test anymore, Amber. Pressured parallel parking out in front of a restaurant. You've got a crowd of onlookers there. I feel like I can always nail this one.
This is time passing you by because kids these days, you're right, they don't even need to know it. Now we've had the backup cameras. We have the lasers. We have those fancy cars that park for you, that parallel park for you. Kids these days, they don't know the struggle. Go look, you're very young. However, back in your day, you used to actually have to know how to parallel park. So this skill is of a different time.
1.5 spots ahead and cut that thing just right. Number three.
Number three.
This one near and dear to my heart, group karaoke. I might not be the best solo singer. I can leave that to some of the more talented folks at the network. But Amber, I promise if you ask me to do a group number, I have been a part of International Players Anthem in a group setting in a way that people did not expect, but I delivered. I have sung the Sandra Dee part in a Summer Lovin' duet at a karaoke bar in eastern Pennsylvania. So I feel like I got something for everybody, good energy in a group performance setting.
So when you first said group karaoke, I was confused what group karaoke even is. So you're saying group karaoke can just be a duet? Because that I've done with karaoke, but I've never done karaoke with an entire group of people.
Oh, listen, we can have a conversation another day about my International Players Anthem group karaoke setting that might be 30 for 30 worthy. But that's neither here nor there. Number two.
Number two.
Number two, Amber, TSA efficiency on this one to me is self-explanatory here. We travel a lot for work. I pride myself on knowing the beats of the airport, getting through in a timely manner, and if I falter, at least showing you I'm putting max effort into this so we can get through this all in one process together. But speed leads me to number one. I want to give you time for your list, so let's get to number one.
Number one.
Number one, personal Olympic event for me. Eating my food way too fast. The amount of waitresses that have looked down at me horrified as I have housed my food far too soon for their ability to comprehend is my greatest ability on God's green earth here. So, Amber, that is my top four list of personal Olympic abilities. The floor is yours.
I could challenge you there, I think. I really do consume my food way too fast as well. But let's go ahead and hit my list, number four.
Number four.
I'm in the midst right now of moving, and I'm packing my whole house. I am a champ when it comes to packing. Whether it's packing for moving or packing for a trip, I got that on lock.
That is my worst ability, actually. So this is a spot where I am completely in awe of your greatness because I am a serial last night, like last hour packer before a trip.
Well, I don't know if you're going to be able to relate to this next one either. Number three.
Number three.
Changing diapers, Mike. I've done a lot of it over the last 2 years of my life since I had my son, and at this point, I feel like an expert on the subject.
Amber, I have a lot of nieces and nephews of friends that I love dearly. Uncle Mike loves coming to town and hanging out with the kids, but I got a clear stop sign that comes up the minute it's time for diaper change, and that's for flesh and blood only.
The first time that I changed one of my nephew's diapers, I put it on backwards, and my sister-in-law never let me live it down. I have come a long way since then. I at least know which is the front and which is the back of the diaper now. Number three. That was number three. Number two.
Number two.
That was my bad. I was sorry, Matlack. Number two, eating pizza. Oh. I am a champ at eating pizza. In high school, Mike, I lived in France for a summer on an exchange program. And over there, we were starving for food. Because even though you think of France as really good food, it's really good food if you have the money to really go out and enjoy it. But at the university I was at, they were serving us all sorts of French food that we were not familiar with. That was not so good. So we were dying for just good old, what we consider American food, even though I recognize pizza's Italian. But just good old food that we were familiar with. We found a Pizza Hut. In France, in Dijon, France, where I was living, we found a Pizza Hut one day, got a large pizza, a pint of ice cream, so did a friend of mine. We had an eating contest. I ate that whole pizza. Nothing stands between me and my affection for pizza, Mike.
Amber, it's so impressive. I firmly believe that every human being is created with certain foods that just mesh well with their bodies, where you almost have a separate stomach that is just boundless and bottomless for that particular food. I applaud you that pizza is the one that meshes with you. It's a great pick. And I think even Italians would agree that once it gets to Pizza Hut and Domino's, they'd probably just call that American.
They would probably be very upset with that having anything to do with their culture whatsoever. You are absolutely right. Number one.
Number three.
Just kidding.
Number one.
Well played, Matt. Like, number one, the number one thing that I could win an Olympic event at, preparing a bubble bath. I mean, I am a champ.
Yes!
You have to have, Mike, it's got to be the right amount of Epsom salt versus the bubbles. There's candles that have to maybe come into the mix. You got to do it right.
Now, Amber, where are you at on bath bombs then? Because I'm a big fan of the Golic family, for how large we are and generally people associate us with being a little dirty, a little musty. Love baths. Love a good bath bomb in addition to the Epsom salt. Where are you at on the bath bombs portion of things?
Well, some people would say that taking a bath is like soaking in your own filth, although I am a huge fan of baths. I take them all the time. I love a good bath bomb, and then they make the colorful ones now that make your bath water all crazy. I'm into it.
I'm incredibly into it. So there you go, an immaculate list by Amber Wilson. Our top four personal Olympic abilities, the things we believe that if you create an Olympic event around these, we would not only excel, we would dominate the competition and bring home gold for the USA. At Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter and at AmberW790. Give us your top four Olympic personal abilities. Coming up next, though, we will head to the actual Olympics to highlight some of the most impressive abilities we've seen so far from some of the youngest competitors I didn't even know were possible in this Games. Next, here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our thanks to everyone who joined the show here today that you can also watch and stream on ESPN+. Amber Wilson filling in for Chinee Igwumike, who you guys got to hear around a bunch this weekend on ESPN Radio. And do, as always, fun having Amber in the chair today. We also talked to Spencer Hall, SEC Network analyst, co-host of Thinking Out Loud, as well as the Shutdown Fullcast, the internet's only college football podcast. He joined us, as well as Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, Bobby Portis, Milwaukee Bucks forward and NBA champion, and Adam Rittenberg, our ESPN.com college football writer. If you missed any of those conversations, make sure you go download, subscribe, rate, and review the Chinee and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get your podcasts here. But it's time to finish things off. We've got Amber here. We've got to show her a good time and make sure she leaves on a good note here so she wants to come back and hang out with us. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Amber, keeping that same energy, we got a youth movement here in street skateboarding in the Olympics. Momiji Nishiya, a 13-year-old, gave Japan a clean sweep in the Olympic street skateboarding with the gold medal. And Brazil's Hayase Leal goes and gets silver in that at 13 years old apiece on that one. Amber, remarkable effort, and just cool to watch the skateboarding and see these kids riding around with AirPods, checking their cell phones right before they go off on a run here. Just dominant.
What were you doing at 13 years old, Mike Golic Jr.?
Having a lot of bug bites, wearing oversized sports jerseys to cover up for the fact that I was a husky middle schooler.
It is amazing what these kids are doing. I mean, 13, there was a 16-year-old on the podium as well. And of course, we know that representation matters. It really does here because these are, I mean, in my view, little girls, right? But real little girls are seeing these teenage girls get this done, represent their country, win gold, win silver, win bronze. They're thinking, I can do that too. In a sport that typically we thought of traditionally as a male sport, representation matters so much. It's such a cool thing, and it's such a cool thing to see them doing it so darn young.
It's beyond impressive all around. Been one of the more entertaining watches, I think, of this Olympics so far. So, again, congratulations to those young women. Like you said, blazing a trail on a big-time stage that a lot of other people can follow. This next one, though, Amber, from the Olympics, I'm not sure if other people should be following this example because Argentinian fencer Maria Belen Perez Moriz lost. She took an Olympic defeat in this Games in women's saber. After that loss, her longtime coach and partner, Lucas Guillermo Saucedo, turned that loss into a surprise marriage proposal. She was doing media when the media group told her to turn around, and he had written up on a piece of paper, "Will you marry me?" Public proposals are one thing, Amber, but when he was asked about this, he said that if she had won, he probably would not have proposed, but he thought in that moment he wanted to turn what was a down, somber moment into celebration. Amber, where are you at on this idea? Because it sounds, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad they're in love. It sounds completely insane to me that he would assume his love was the most powerful force in the universe and would be so well received in that moment.
Well, yeah, we wish those crazy kids the best, but what I don't understand about this is he's only proposing to her if she loses to cheer her up. So if she won, he doesn't have any desire to marry her. It seems odd to me that your desire to ask for a woman's hand in marriage would hinge on how well she does in her sport at any level of sporting event. Nevertheless, in the Olympics, I don't know if I consider that romantic. I think maybe the more romantic gesture is that you want to ask for my hand in marriage either way. But again, hey, you know what? To each their own, we wish them luck.
I love her, and when she lost the match, she got very sad. So maybe this proposal should change her mentality. I wrote on the paper in the moment, if she had won, no, I would have waited for the moment. Unbelievable stuff here on Chene and Golic Jr. as we keep that same energy with public proposals. Amber, we also got to keep that same energy. Pray for your favorite Madden ratings adjuster because ESPN is set to host Madden Ratings Week this week. Coming up here, we have, I believe, the top 10 wide receivers in Madden 2022 revealed. And Amber, I already saw a number of people freaking out online because they thought Amari Cooper was ranked too high.
He was ranked too high, by the way. Eighth on this list in rankings, 92 rating. He was ranked too high because durability issues. There might be a Dallas bias there. I digress, though. Nothing says July like us rolling out the Madden ratings like we're covering the Super Bowl, right? This is how desperate we are for football. We're in training camp. It's close enough where we can smell it, but not so close that we can taste it. So to get a taste of it, we're rolling out the Madden ratings and covering them to this level. I love it.
By the way, for what it's worth, Devontae Adams, number one receiver in the game, 99 overall, part of that special club, which usually means you get something cool and gold sent to you because it's always cool to get free stuff. Keeping that same energy, though, to end this, Amber, did you see the video of Tom Brady supposedly throwing balls through the jugs machine? For anyone that's missed it, normally it spits balls out at you. It's the automated machine that throws footballs for you. If you're watching on ESPN Plus, you're seeing it right now. And this showed Tom Brady with a caption about getting ready for camp, throwing it the other way back into the machine before ultimately knocking it over. Amber, were you one of the people that actually believed this was real? Because I was amazed at how many people got by the internet.
I mean, for the first 5 seconds I saw it, my initial reaction was, is this real? And then I realized, no, it's an edited video. But whoever edited this for Tom Brady is the goat of editing maybe as well, because this was beautifully done. It looks so darn real. And here's the thing, Mike. Tom Brady is likable, man. I never wanted to like Tom Brady as a Dolphins fan, and alas, I like Tom Brady, this Tampa Tom Brady. Very likable, that guy.
Tampa Bay has really brought something different out of him, from the boat parades to the social media. It's all worked out extremely well, and so I guess we all get to kind of root for more of this now. Amber, we appreciate you coming and hanging out with us here. If you guys like that, stick around here. Spain and Fitz coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.